You roll in. 45 degrees, the horizon tilts, the seat pushes back against you with a little more force than you expected. You're thinking, okay, I've got this. Then you glance at the altimeter and it's already unwinding. 50 feet low, you pull back harder, the nose comes up. Now you're gaining altitude, and somewhere in there, the bank angle drifted to 38 degrees because you were so focused on altitude that you forgot about everything else. I'm Pattern. This is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Today we are going to talk about steep turns, the maneuver that looks manageable on paper, and that genuinely humbles a lot of pilots the first time they try it under real checkride conditions. Before we dig in, quick shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the pilot journey. First solo, private certificate, instrument rating, commercial. Real milestones deserve something you can actually hold in your hand. AviationSoul.com, now. Steep turns. Let me start with why this maneuver exists on your checkride, because it is not just a hoop to jump through. The steep turn tests your ability to manage an airplane under increased aerodynamic load. It reveals whether you scan your references or fixate on one instrument. It shows whether you're flying with your whole awareness or riding along hoping nothing goes wrong. An examiner learns a lot about a pilot from 2 or 3 minutes of steep turns. Here is the physics. Briefly, when you bank to 45 degrees and hold altitude, you're asking your wings to do more work than they do in level flight. The vertical component of lift is still holding you up, but now the horizontal component is pulling you through the turn. The total lift required goes up. At 45 degrees of bank, your load factor is approximately 1.41 Gs. That means you and the airplane effectively weigh about 41% more than you do straight and level. To generate that extra lift without climbing or descending, you need to increase your angle of attack, which means back pressure on the controls. That is where most students get into trouble. Not because they do not know they need back pressure, they know. But they treat it as something to react to, not something to anticipate. They roll to 45 degrees, the nose falls, the altimeter starts to unwind, and then they pull. By the time they feel the need to correct, they are already 15 or 20 feet below their entry altitude. The moment to add back pressure is during the roll-in, not after the nose has dropped. This is not a small distinction. If you are reacting, you are always behind. If you are anticipating, you are flying. The Airman Certification Standards, or ACS, for the private pilot certificate give you specific tolerances for this maneuver. You need to maintain altitude within plus or minus 100 feet, airspeed within plus or minus 10 knots, bank angle within 5 degrees of 45, and you need to roll out on your entry heading within plus or minus 10 degrees. A lot of students hear those numbers and feel relieved. 100 feet sounds like a lot of room, and it is. But here is what the ACS does not say, and what your examiner already knows. The way you depart from those tolerances tells a story. If your altitude oscillates, gaining 50, losing 70, gaining again, your examiner sees someone reacting. If your altitude creeps low and you catch it early with a smooth, small correction, that is a different story. The first shows confusion, the second shows competence. Your goal on a checkride is not perfection. It is demonstrated awareness and control. Now let's talk about what examiners actually watch. The first thing an examiner notices is your entry. Before you have even reached 45 degrees of bank, are you coordinated? Is the ball centered? Are you adding back pressure as you roll in? Or are you rolling to the target bank and then scrambling to catch the nose? The quality of your entry tells your examiner whether you understood the maneuver before you started it, something that does not get said enough. Do not let the first steep turn of a checkride flight be the first one you have done in 2 weeks. Your hands and feet need muscle memory here. If you're rusty going into the practical test, it will show in the first 15 seconds of that entry. The second thing an examiner watches is your scan. Where are your eyes going? If you're staring at the altimeter for 4 or 5 seconds at a stretch, that is too long. Your primary altitude reference in a steep turn is the outside horizon, not the altimeter. The altimeter is a lagging indicator. By the time it registers a change, you have already been off altitude for a second or two. The horizon shows you what is happening right now. A lot of altitude problems in steep turns happen because students fixate on the altimeter. They see 50 feet low, they pull. The nose comes up above the horizon. They look outside, see the overshot pitch attitude, push forward. Now they are oscillating. A good scan in steep turns moves between the horizon for pitch attitude, a peripheral check on your bank angle, a sweep across the instruments, and back outside. Not a rigid pattern. A living scan that catches things early before they become large corrections. Let's talk about bank angle, because this is the second most common place students lose points. In a well-coordinated turn, there is a physical tendency for the bank to try to steepen. The outer wing is moving faster than the inner wing and generating more lift. That differential wants to roll you deeper, but in practice what usually happens is the opposite. Students subconsciously shallow the bank. 45 degrees feels uncomfortable. They ease back toward 38 or 40 degrees without realizing it. When the bank shallows, you need less back pressure to maintain altitude. So the nose wants to come up. So they ease forward on the controls, and now the nose is tracking slightly below the horizon, and they are chasing everything at once. The fix is a visual reference. Before you roll in, find the point where your wingtip lines up with the horizon at 45 degrees of bank. In most training airplanes, there is a specific visual relationship you can identify and practice. Use that reference during the turn. Combine it with periodic scans of the attitude indicator bank index. Those two things together will keep you on 45. One thing that catches students off guard is how 45 degrees actually feels. When you're in the airplane looking out at a banked world, your instincts often say you're way past 45 or not quite there yet, depending on the day in the airplane and your experience level. Trust the attitude indicator to confirm what you think you see outside. Do not trust your gut on bank angle until your gut has seen 45 degrees enough times to recognize it. Now power. In most training airplanes, you do not need to add power for steep turns. But some airplanes, depending on weight and density, altitude, and the airspeed you rolled in at, benefit from a small adjustment. Maybe 200 RPM in a carbureted trainer. The key is knowing before you fly. Check your aircraft's pilot operating handbook. Ask your instructor what is normal for your specific airplane. If your examiner asks why you changed the power setting, you need an answer grounded in the aircraft, not just habit. Let's talk about the rollout. This is where otherwise solid steep turns fall apart. You have been flying a careful, coordinated circle, and then you miss the exit. You need to roll out on your entry heading within 10 degrees. To do that, you need to start rolling out before your heading arrives. The standard rule is to begin the rollout approximately half the bank angle before the target heading. At 45 degrees, that means starting to roll out about 20 to 22 degrees before your entry heading comes back around. Students get caught because they are watching the heading indicator and they begin rolling out when they see their entry heading appear. That is too late. By the time you roll the wings level from a 45-degree bank, you have turned another 15 to 20 degrees. You are past your target heading before you're even close to wings level. Pick a visual reference point on the horizon before you start the maneuver. Something on your nose heading, a cloud, a ridgeline, a distant landmark. That is your rollout cue. You start returning to wings level when that reference is approaching, well before the heading indicator gets there. Roll out, level the wings. And the reference point should be right where you left it. There is a second rollout trap. As your bank angle decreases during the rollout, your load factor decreases with it. The back pressure you were holding through the turn is now too much. If you hold the same pressure as the wings come level, the nose pitches up and you gain altitude on the way out. You need to ease the back pressure as you roll the wings level. Students who have been working hard to hold altitude all the way through the turn are often so relieved to be rolling out that they forget this. They gain 80 feet on the exit and wonder what happened. One more thing about the rollout. Most examiners want to see you transition directly from one direction to the other. You complete 360 degrees in one direction, roll through wings level, and continue rolling into the opposite bank. No pause to reset. The reversal is part of the maneuver. Practice this specifically. The coordination required to roll through wings level and into the opposite bank requires active rudder input as you cross through level flight. If you're slow on the rudder at the transition point, the ball skids out. A lot of students fly the first turn reasonably well and then get sloppy at the reversal because they were not expecting it to feel different. Here is a practical mental sequence for setting up the maneuver. Do your clearing turns first. A couple of 90-degree turns to check the area above, below, and to both sides. Note your entry altitude. Pick your horizon reference for the rollout. Decide your entry heading. Brief yourself on what 45 degrees looks like from this airplane, where your wingtip reference is, and what power setting you plan to use. Then roll in, coordinated back pressure coming in during the roll-in, not after. Arrive at 45 degrees with altitude stable and the ball centered. For the turn itself, scan. Horizon for pitch attitude. Wingtip reference and attitude indicator for bank angle. Instruments for a cross check, back outside. Small corrections only. The nose starting to track a couple degrees below the horizon is a small correction. The altimeter unwinding 80 feet before you notice is a large correction. Stay outside and stay ahead. About 20 degrees before your horizon reference begin rolling out, ease the back pressure as the bank comes off. Wings level, note your altitude, airspeed, heading, transition into the opposite bank without stopping. Here is something I want to say directly because I think it changes how students approach check rides. The examiner is not hoping you fail. Most of them are hoping you succeed. What they are evaluating is whether you were in command the whole time. A deviation that you catch and correct before they say anything is very different from a deviation they had to point out. Self-correction is the skill. The maneuver is just the situation that tests it. There is also an oral component to steep turns that students sometimes skip. Your examiner may ask why you needed back pressure to maintain altitude. They may ask what happened to your stall speed during the maneuver. At 45 degrees of bank, your stall speed is approximately 19% higher than in wings level flight. If your trainer normally stalls around 48 knots indicated, it is stalling somewhere around 57 in a 45 degree bank. Not a danger in a normal training scenario, but you need to understand the relationship and be able to explain it. Here's something I wish someone had told me when I was training. If you find yourself in an overbank situation, or if the nose has dropped and the bank has deepened, your first move is always to reduce the bank. Not to pull. Pulling in a steep bank tightens the turn and can accelerate you toward a spiral. Level the wings first, then manage the pitch. Know that sequence before you get in the airplane. Talk to your instructor about steep turns before your check ride. Not just fly them, sit down and talk through the mechanics. Why does load factor increase? What happens to stall speed? What is the examiner watching? Understanding the why turns a practice maneuver into something you actually own. And if you can find 15 minutes to chair, fly the sequence before you go to the airport, do it. Run through the entry in your head. Feel where your eyes go. Feel where the back pressure comes in. That kind of mental rehearsal shows up in the airplane in real ways. This segment draws from the Airman Certification Standards for Private Pilot Airplane and the Federal Aviation Administration Airplane Flying Handbook. Both are available free at the FAA's website, faa.gov. If you have not read the steep turn chapter recently, read it before your next practice session. More from Traffic Pattern at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern, fly the maneuver, not the anxiety.